Last week, Ian was talking about Jesus' baptism. There were three things he said which I see reflected in this week's readings too. Ian talked about glimpsing into heaven. Heaven was torn open as Jesus came up out of the water. Ian reminded us that God speaks. At creation, God spoke into the formless and empty world. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Ian talked about God's voice. The psalm last week described God's voice shaking the desert. And when Jesus was baptized, God spoke to his beloved Son, "You are my Son, whom I love." And that word of love is for us too. Thirdly, Ian talked of our being invited to join in God's song. God calls us to join in the song. Each of those has a parallel in this week's readings. Today we see, firstly, a glimpse of heaven. Jesus promises Nathanael that he will see heaven opened. Jesus talks about angels ascending and descending, like Jacob saw when he was running away from Esau back in the book of Genesis. And in Revelation, we see John's vision of heaven with Jesus surrounded by angels. Jesus appears as the Lamb of God, triumphant. Secondly, God speaks. He spoke to Samuel in the temple. Jesus spoke to Nathanael. And in the book of Revelation, Jesus spoke directly to John, though we don't hear Jesus himself in today's verses. Thirdly, there's the Song of Heaven. The Psalms are God's songbook for us, of course, but in Revelation we hear more of heaven's song, the wonderful song of praise, worshipping Jesus, the one who has won the victory. Jesus is worthy because he has purchased us by his blood. Jesus died to make us part of his kingdom, his family. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and praise. Why am I making these links between last week and this week? They're just examples of how God's word has a consistent message. It fits together. The more we delve into it, the more we find that one bit sheds light on another. Read your Bibles, my friends. As the old prayer book collect says, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the Holy Scriptures. St. Paul tells us the Scriptures are able to make us wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Read your Bibles. We're to digest them, make them part of ourselves. God's word will nourish us. As Jesus said to Satan, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Read God's word, devour it till it becomes part of you. But specifically, what are our Bible readings saying to us this morning? I want to start with Samuel. We join the story when he is still only a lad. He's the junior assistant in the temple. He's working under old man Eli, the high priest. And one night they've gone to sleep in the temple. During the night, Samuel hears God's voice calling him. He thinks it's Eli, so he runs to see what Eli wants. But it isn't Eli calling, it's God himself. Samuel wasn't expecting to hear God speaking. We're told that God's word was rare or precious. Not many folk were used to hearing God's voice. Even Eli, the priest, took a while to cotton on. But God speaks, and eventually Samuel is ready to listen. I was going to say that this was the start of Samuel's journey with God. After this incident, Samuel became known throughout the whole country. He was recognised as a prophet of the Lord. This event in the temple was the beginning of that ministry. But I don't think Samuel's journey with God started then. Surely it started much earlier. I'm sure it began with his mother Hannah. She was a woman of prayer. Do read all about her in the two previous chapters, how she must have prayed over her son. Samuel must have learned a lot from such a godly mother. Praying for our children, for our grandchildren if we have them, God will use those prayers. So God speaks. He spoke to young Samuel. Don't despise the youth of today. God can call them just as much as anyone else. Mind you, don't think God only calls young people. Remember when Abraham heard God calling him to up sticks and move to the land of Canaan? Abraham was 75. And when God called Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, Moses was 80. God speaks. He calls. Then we come to Philip and Nathanael. Jesus calls Philip, and Philip recognises that Jesus is the Messiah. So he goes to get Nathanael. Philip says Jesus is from Nazareth. But Nathanael takes some persuading. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Nathanael isn't expecting to hear from God. Especially not expecting a Messiah from Nazareth. But good things can come from Nazareth, as Nathanael discovers. Jesus makes a wonderful promise, not just to Nathanael, but to all his disciples. We will see the heaven opened, and we'll see something like Jacob saw when God appeared to him at Bethel. But it won't be a ladder from earth to heaven with angels on it. The angels will be ascending and descending on Jesus himself, because Jesus will be the bridge between earth and heaven. As Ian said last week, heaven is open to us. Later in his gospel, John tells us that Jesus is the way to the Father. See how it all fits together. But we need to look too at the passage from Revelation. John's wonderful vision looks forward to when Jesus is revealed in glory. Revelation is a puzzling book. Just in these few verses, Jesus is described as a lion and as a lamb. And that scroll with seven seals, it has writing all over it. But we're not told what the writing is. So don't expect me to have all the answers. But this passage shows Jesus' mighty power. He's the only person in the whole of earth and heaven who can open the seals on that scroll. And why? Because he has conquered. Jesus is the victor over all that is evil. Because he gave himself up to death. He was put to death for us, for the whole world. Jesus' death has paid the price to ransom us, to ransom everyone from the power of sin. Jesus' death has bought the way for us to have a relationship with God. He has created that bridge between earth and heaven. Some folk won't accept that, of course. Some people don't want to know. They choose to stay outside. Jesus doesn't force anyone into his kingdom, but for all who receive him, we become part of his kingdom. And that's the wonderful good news that we have as Christians. Jesus has won that victory. So first the 24 elders sing his praises. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God people from every tribe and language and people and nation. And then myriads of angels add their voices. "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain," they sing. Then everyone joins in. Every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, they're all singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honour and glory and power for ever and ever." This is a song for everyone to sing, for us to sing. God calls us to sing the song of his redeemed people, singing God's praises. How can we do better than that? Because we have a wonderful God. We have a God who is mightier than anyone, mightier than anything in the whole world. We have a God who sees us, who understands us, just as he understood Samuel. He knew the psalmist inside out. He understood David's inmost thoughts. Nothing was hidden. Jesus knew what was in Nathanael's heart, even before they met. And he knows our hearts too. So he knows how rubbish we are. But in his mercy, he overlooks all that, because he has ransomed us. He loves each of us deeply, passionately. He looks past all our faults, all our wrongdoing. And we're precious to him. The Lamb who was slain has bought us for God. This is our wonderful God. Just now, of course, we can't sing in church. We can't even meet outdoors to sing. But there's nothing that says we can't sing at home. Don't worry too much about the neighbours. Don't worry if you haven't got much of a voice. Sing God's praises. Sing his glory. To God be the glory, great things he has done. Amen.